In 1984, several agents from the Los Angeles District Office of the Criminal Investigations Division, the CID, of the IRS, conducted an intensive and fruitless investigation of the Church of Scientology pursuant to a program of harassment with which the IRS has plagued the church for almost 20 years. By the summer of 1984, it appeared that the investigation was winding up after the CID agents had interviewed numerous former members of the church. At that time, a private investigator working for the Church of Scientology received a tip that the CID were utilizing a former church member, Jerry Armstrong, as an undercover operative for purposes of infiltration and disruption of church leadership, even to the extent of planting phony, incriminating documents in church files to be discovered in a subsequent prearranged raid. A key part of the plan was to encourage and support a supposed internal power struggle within the church, recruit several current members as government informant operatives, and stage a coup in which legitimate church leadership would be deposed in favor of the IRS operatives, who would seize control of the church's property and assets, a result that particularly appealed to Armstrong in view of his wholly selfish motive to apply those assets to the settlement of his own spurious litigation against the church. Advised of these IRS plans, a church staff member arranged to meet with Armstrong under a guise. He told the informant that he was part of a group within the church that was dissatisfied with current church leadership and wished to improve matters internally. He called this fictitious group the Royalists. The church employed private investigator, informed an officer of the Los Angeles Police Department of Armstrong's plans, and received official written permission to videotape record the meetings with Armstrong without Armstrong's knowledge. You are about to see excerpts from the videotapes made during this investigation. Intent upon motivating the Loyalists to take control of the Church of Scientology, Armstrong's first step was to convince the Loyalist representative that he had the full weight of the government behind him. In fact, according to private investigators who followed Armstrong immediately after some of the meetings, on at least two occasions, Armstrong drove straight to the offices of the IRS agents, Lipkin and Restuccia.
Okay, well, the agencies have asked for some specific things. That's all they've asked for. What have they asked for? Well, they've asked for specifically, now some of the things you already answered and I already passed on.
From the names that they mentioned.
Marlowe, Reynolds, Doug Hayes. Who
wanted this?
CID.
Got it?
Now, do you want a number in CID?
Yes.
Your people should call. If any problem, just call this guy. He's, in my opinion, a pretty straight guy.
And he knows about the Loyalists and what we're doing and stuff like that?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
And what exactly told him? What did he say?
He feels that, you know, he keeps saying, when are these guys going to talk to me? He says, I'll meet under any circumstances.
Wow.
You know, that's the thought. And anyway, let me get Al Lipkin. 213-688-4260.
You know, we need this flow of data going back and forth.
Right.
Has to happen, and I think that the tests are going to be real proven.
You know, with the fact that it's happening, and I think that they'll reciprocate.
So what agencies know about us, and what do they want? And
Justice Department, FBI.
It was clear from Armstrong's immediate statements that this operation was conducted in the line of Armstrong's duty as an IRS informant operative. It was crucial for the success of the planned takeover that the Loyalists give Armstrong copies of issues which were internal church documents so that he could use them as models for producing fabricated, incriminating evidence against the church.
Have a whole bunch of documents and samples of different kinds. I can give you these.
Good.
This is
This is like hitting the candy shop.
I hope I got what you wanted.
Wow, so far we're looking great. You see, because I think that during a part of this, we can simply create these. You know, I can create documents with relative ease.
Right.
Well, we could set up a press, and we could produce issues. And then we could set up a network. And then we could have communication lines running outside the organization.
Armstrong then explained how he could create the phony documents and make them look exactly like real church documents.
I don't know, maybe you guys are using them. But it seems to me you don't have the way of printing anything to get an issue on the line to use for anything, right? I'm saying that I can do it. I'm saying I can type those goddamn things and duplicate them and make them look exactly the same. You would not be able to tell the difference.
Armstrong had even worked out how to create the phony documents off church premises, bring them in, and plant them in the files prior to a government raid while retaining a copy outside of the church.
Just maybe that sort of stuff can be done. Issues could be created. Stuff can go in. I got to come around hunting. Where the fuck is it? Well, I shit got rid of it all. Except you've made it off the property and you've got it somewhere. Type it off the property and bring it in. Remember, there's no problem bringing stuff in, right?
Armstrong then described the IRS plan of how the loyalists were to take over the church after the government had carried out its raid.
The idea of the guy, that's the most likely place in which the whole thing will happen.
Oh, the other thing, I don't know if it makes sense to you to sort of divide up the organization and go after people on that basis, just so that you know, shit, we have this group covered, you know, and then divide it up structurally so that you have all the various key points which have to be covered. I think that you guys will be able to take over and then use operating income to continue the battle. And that way you can secure the buildings. And I think it's going to take that kind of thing. There's a lot of people, by the way.
Yeah, so like game plan, like you want to go over following. So like us working together, you like our people run the church, getting out these guys out of the way.
Part of the takeover scheme included the filing of a lawsuit by the loyalists against the church leadership. When questioned by the loyalists as to what would occur if they attempted their coup and it failed and the church retaliated, Armstrong stated that they would enjoy complete immunity despite any crimes committed and provided they joined in the lawsuit. Further, they would enjoy the immunity Armstrong himself was presently enjoying.
Oh, by the way, I spoke to Al Lipkin last night. After I was photographed, I went down some because we had talked and I said that it looks like just maybe one or some of these guys are going to want to talk to you. He's smart enough. He already talks about safe houses and relocating and renaming people. But I said, well, I don't know what can be done. He keeps asking me, what can be done? I say, I don't know. But I think as an initial thing, what makes sense to me is that the people who are going to put their name on that document, the suit, on that suit, see you in advance, because as soon as that happens, they become federal witnesses, and the organization's not going to fuck with them. Or if it does...
That's what Al said?
Huh?
That's what Al Lipkin said?
Well, it's what I said, and he said that's the best protection that they've got initially.
In this next excerpt, Armstrong reveals that plaintiff's personal injury attorney, Mike Flynn, who represents Armstrong and several other disaffected ex-church members in numerous specious damages suits against the church, is also involved in this plot with the IRS and Armstrong.
You have it within your power to stay there. You have it within your power to simply say, we are not moving, and watch what happens if you guys did that. If you guys get pushed around, Mike's recommendation was, do not leave. Stay there. Say we are the organization. And also, if you want to, from here on out, set up a communication line with me so that if I'm not called every 24 hours, then I know to get the feds and get down on the fucking
doorstep.
At one point during the course of the investigation, Armstrong goes slowly by Church of Scientology headquarters in Los Angeles. Armstrong was at that time suing the church for over $81 million, claiming emotional distress and claiming a fear for his life. He was followed for a few blocks by a security guard who wanted to get a picture of Armstrong for evidence in defense of the civil suit, showing that this fear was a total sham. Armstrong asked the loyalist to find out who this person was so that the CID could come down on him.
In any case, these guys, I'd like to get names and the numbers that I'm going to take on. Simply because I happen to be a federal witness. You know, something like that. Yeah, you want to make them, and I don't want my life fucked around like that. So anyway, that's why I'd like it.
In July of 1985, the videotaped transcript was presented to several congressmen, and queries were forwarded to the IRS. The head of the CID in Washington, Richard Wassenauer, responded that our agents acted in a very professional and proper at arm's length manner. This response is belied by the videotaped excerpts you have just seen. The IRS also took measures to ensure that word of their illegal operations would never surface. Armstrong suggested to his loyalist contact that he must perjure himself if ever deposed on the subject of their meetings and make it look as though their meeting was for the purpose of settling civil litigation.
What are our conversations, should it come down to it? What do we talk about? You're deposed. You walk out there, there's a PI hands you paper saying you're deposed, Jack, and all that, but you're out of the organization. And what do you say in deposition? Well, Armstrong and I talked about this, and he had a whole bunch of ideas about how to infiltrate the communication lines and spread turmoil and disaster. You know? What are we doing here? That's my question before I tell you my ideas on documents.
Armstrong then went on to instruct the loyalists on exactly how he was to perjure himself to cover up this IRS plot in any subsequent deposition or court proceeding.
Let me just say, you and I get together. This is why we get together. We get together because I have a goal of global settlement. You have felt that the turmoil and abuses and so on have gone on too long. Hence, we get together and discuss things. We have not discussed anything about a destruction of the tech, or that Scientology is bad, or anything like that. Are we agreed?
L. Fletcher Prouty, a retired U.S. Air Force colonel, who served with the Office of the Secretary of Defense and was in daily contact with the CIA and other government agencies, made a careful study of the videotapes of the clandestine meetings. He came to the following conclusion, and I quote, "Following the classic operandi of infiltration, penetration, disruption, and then control, Armstrong has demonstrated how well he has been coached for his role by his government mentors. The government agencies involved trained their informant well in the ways of undercover organizational takeover. They planned to create a dissident sector from within to penetrate and take over the Church of Scientology. This tactic is straight out of the Nazi subversion textbook," end of quotes. These videotapes were first released publicly during the cross-examination of Armstrong in a civil lawsuit in Oregon in April 1985, after Armstrong had vehemently denied the true content of these meetings. The same day, an assistant U.S. attorney and IRS CID agent appeared before the court in order to obtain copies of the videos. A few days later, a press conference was held by the Church of Scientology in Los Angeles to publicly expose the nefarious IRS conduct revealed in the videos. Church officers spotted several Los Angeles Police Department undercover agents in the press conference audience. These agents were confronted and asked why they were there. The agents refused to answer, and in violation of Los Angeles Police Department codes, refused to identify themselves. Puzzled as to why the Los Angeles Police Department would infiltrate and disrupt a press conference, the president of the International Church, Reverend Heber Gentsch, and president of the Los Angeles Church, Reverend Ken Hoden, proceeded to police headquarters for for an explanation. As Jensch and Hoden arrived, IRS CID agents Lipkin and Restuccia, the two agents specifically named by Armstrong as his case officers, were leaving the office of the chief of police, Darrell Gates. Gates had just issued a press release attempting to illegally revoke the authorization for the videotaping that an officer from his force had legally given earlier. Gates had not done anything to investigate the situation, and the press release was handed to the media as the IRS agents left his office. A few days later, Lipkin and Restuccia cornered the police officer who had authorized the video surveillance and attempted unsuccessfully to coerce him into renouncing his authorization. The CID agents then gave the police officer's captain an ominous message to relay to the officer, quote, "The train is leaving the station and you better be on board," end of quotes. Shortly thereafter, the officer was temporarily suspended from his duties by Police Chief Gates. This was the beginning of a cover-up that has continued to this day and has involved several government agencies in attempting to invalidate and suppress the serious, illegal, and unconstitutional actions evidenced in part by these tapes.